It's 6:32. I'm going to call the meeting to order and ask you all to recite the Pledge of Allegiance, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. Can you all hear me?
Yep.
Visible.
You can still hear me?
Justice for all.
Okay, sorry. And I've called roll. Bob, you're here.
Yes.
Adam, you're here. Kathy,
present.
You're here.
Yes.
So we have, okay, we have a quorum. We do not have the minutes for September 3rd. I talked to Mark a few minutes ago, and Mark tells me that she took another job. He's finding someone who will do it. He's got someone who will do tonight. They're not going to be on the call, but they'll get the tape of the call, so they'll be able to transmit them, and we'll get the September 3rd minutes as soon as he has them. We can review them at the next meeting. Is that okay with everybody?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks. All right. Additions, deletions, corrections. So there's something under new business, and that's A, discussion of probable action on releasing the reverter clause on the Barron building. I would like to do that under old business, under Ken's report, which is A, because I want Ken to speak on that, and I don't want to hold him until that portion of the meeting. Do I have a motion to do that?
I'll make a motion under new business A to move it to old business.
Yes, B. It would be B. It would come right under
B.
Okay. And is there a second to that?
A second.
Well, Joan, I don't think you can. It's got to be a board member.
No, it's me, Kathy.
Oh, Kathy, I'm sorry. You sounded like Joan.
Oh.
All right, Kathy, thank you.
You're welcome.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Discussion? Hearing none. Okay, so then that would make A and then B would be C, C would be D, and all the way down. I'd also like to add under new business a B, which would be discussion and possible action on reopening the Derby Housing Authority office to the public. I didn't know that City Hall was open. I saw Joan's question and I talked to Mark. So we did as a group, that we made the decision as a group to close it. I'm going to put it back out there. So I'd like to add, that's the only other change I want to make, is under new business B, discussion and possible action on reopening the DHA office. Can I have a motion to do that?
Madam Chair?
You want a motion to put it on the agenda, Linda? Is that what you're looking for?
Yes.
Okay.
To add it on new business under B.
Okay. I make that motion that we put opening the DHA to the public on the agenda for item B, I guess, under new business.
A, C. Yes.
C, I'm sorry.
B. No, second. B, like in boy.
I'll second that.
All right. All right, Bob, thank you. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. So we can move on to public portion. Is there anyone from the public here?
Yeah, it's Mark Carfalo, town clerk.
Yes, hi.
Good evening, everybody. I want to just make sure to clarify something, and based on a previous conversation I had with the chair. In terms of City Hall is open now to the public, just the first floor is open, but there have been changes to the corridor on the first floor. So the first floor is the only thing that's open. The second floor is not open, nor is are there any public meetings being held here. So and on each side of the corridor, windows similar to what was in the tax office have been constructed, so that nobody is coming into the office suites. All the business is being transacted in the hallway. And in terms of being closed, City Hall was closed to the public, But we, as the staff, have been coming in since March. We never stopped coming in to the office.
Correct.
So I just want to, I didn't know if there was confusion or whatever, or just even confusion out in the public, but we have been here. We have been here and the office is operating, or at least this office has been, without exception since whatever the March 13th was the first day that we were closed to the public.
Sure.
So, but again, in terms of people being let back into the building, they're not being let into the suites. The work is being done from the hallway. So I'm sorry to take up your time on your meeting, but I just want this just so you hear it directly from here.
Mark, can I ask you
questions?
A question about that?
Yes.
For us moving forward when we visit that topic, do people need to make an appointment to come into City Hall to meet with anyone in that hallway there?
No, that's not the way that's not the way we're doing it, but that, I think every situation is unique. I mean, we've modified our process, for say funeral directors, when they come in with death certificates, they send them in ahead, they email them and fax them ahead so we can kind of prepare as much as we can ahead of time.
Okay.
And, like real estate record, we do a lot of work through the through email.
Right.
Because of the nature of this office, and then in terms of paying taxes and the WPCA bills, people have been using a lot of leaving their checks and stuff like that in the Dropbox, which they normally do. Same thing with the assessor's office and then the building official's office. They've been, through email, they've been scheduling inspections and so forth.
Okay. All right, thank you. I just was just wondering, you mentioned that it was on a limited basis. I didn't know how limited and not that it matters to us as far as what City Hall is doing, just that, for me in school, what I do in the library at school, I call the public library on a weekly basis to find out what they're doing so that we can kind of do the same thing. We match up,
Definitely.
What we're doing. So I think for us to know what you're doing, it's a good plan. As well.
Definitely. So yeah, but that's where we're at. And the senior center has a little bit of a different situation, and the Derby Public Library and Derby Neck Libraries have just started to kind of expand what they're able to offer. Yeah, but the way they have to do it.
Yeah.
I think it depends on the flow and the situation for the safety of the people coming in and especially for the people that are working.
Yep.
So.
Okay, thanks so much.
Sorry, I just wanted to just kind of...
Thanks, Mark.
So you understood where we were at. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
So is anybody else expecting to come on the meeting besides Ellen?
I don't
believe so. Staff-wise or anything? Okay, because I have to admit them, and I have two other meetings and absentee ballots that we're trying to do. So just yell, and I have it on speaker. I'll come back over.
Okay. I'm just expecting Ellen.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I'm here. Bye-bye.
So I'm going to expect that there's nobody else from the public, correct? Okay. Since there's no other anyone from the public, I'm going to close that portion.
I think Ellen is coming in here now.
Oh, okay, good.
Yep. She needs to, she's on mute, though.
She's just still logging in. So Ellen, can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay, you're
thanks.
All set.
Okay. So since there's no one else from the public, I'm going to close the public portion and go down to old business. Ken, you're here, right?
Correct. I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can.
I can.
So I think we all have copies of your report. Did you want to go over it with us?
It's up to the board. If you would like me to kind of highlight some things, I'd be happy to do that. If you have questions, I can answer. However you want to proceed.
Board members?
It looks pretty straightforward. What was your highlight of the month, Ken?
Okay, so I think, let me see. I think the one thing that is still out there for kind of a decision is the first check mark there under the first bullet. There's an opportunity for additional money to go towards the Housing Choice Voucher Program. And even though we're going to have enough to get through after going through some reserves, and remember, it's a good thing to be spending all the money they give us. We would recommend that we see if we can qualify Derby Housing Authority for this additional funds, and if we can, that we bring it to your attention before the deadline to see if you want to submit. That would probably be the highlight. And the other thing is, and the Family Self-Sufficiency Program, I know Laura's on, but we had a nice meeting the other day, and I think we got some good ideas to augment her effort to try to get the program to the enrollment level it needs to be. And probably the last thing, I'm sorry, is the audit is commencing. And I just want to prepare the board for that. You know, I'm very proud of the work that we've done, and I think we're on the right track and quicker than we expected. But I just want to remind the board, they're auditing files from, you know, 2018 and 19. And we're going to do everything we can to try to position ourselves for a better audit, a good audit. But I just don't want you to be shocked if it's, you know, not as good as you would hope it to be, because it's the time period before we really started digging in and cleaning up stuff. And while we've tried to go back as much as we can, it would be impossible to go on a time machine and do that.
Thank you.
Correct.
So, Ted, how bad is bad?
I don't know until we kind of go through it. I mean, I think we have systems set up that weren't there before. That'll help us. The tenant files are the thing that's hard to be able to predict, and, you know, what files they pick and what they find.
Okay. What do you see as downstream implications that we should be preparing for?
So, I mean, I think the only thing that, you know, it's HUD is aware of the situation. I think they're happy with the direction we're going in, but it might end up being like a corrective action plan where we have to demonstrate how we've got procedures and steps in place and a plan to make sure that the audit, you know, gets to a better place going forward. I think we can do all of that, but it's just, I didn't want you to think that, we've certainly been there for 9 months now, but unfortunately none of that really is what the files they're looking at for the most part. So we'll get through it and done this before with HUD. So, you know, they have to go through their due diligence to show that they're following up to make sure that there's a plan, corrective action plan, and we're prepared to kind of guide you through that.
All right. Very good.
Any other questions? Ken, the first thing you talked about, is that notice 2020-17 or 2020-22?
2020-17.
Okay. And who would do the application? Would you do the application?
Well, no, we would do it all. It would be part of our services. We would do it for you. It's non-competitive. And it's just a simple calculation, and we would tell you how we would get the information into HUD.
Do we need to make an approval? Do we need to make an approval for you to do that, or can you just go right ahead and do it?
No, if you just, I mean, I think if it's the board's pleasure just explore to see if we're eligible, then I can follow up and confirm that the calculation bears that we could receive money, and then we can go on that. I don't think it requires a motion. You're certainly welcome to do that, though.
I don't think we ever have a problem looking for money. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Ken, I just have a question. I know Maria sent me paperwork and I signed it. It was the application for the CARES Act.
Yeah, so that must be the calculation that I'm talking about. The other thing that, and I'm sorry that I'm saying the highlights here, but I'm just remembering here on the mainstream vouchers, the notice 2020-22. This is the one that we exchanged an email, Linda, on with Ellen, you and I, when it came out,
right,
and if we were eligible. So it is an opportunity to apply. We would, Derby would be eligible. It's an emergency housing program for shelters. You know, this is, HUD is giving out all kinds of funds as a result of the COVID related. I've never seen it so busy, but it's supposedly non-competitive in that, you know, we just need to submit an application and decide whether, you know, who they're going to fund. And it could be anywhere from up to 40 units. You know, so it's an opportunity, again, to try to attain additional funding. It's a rolling application, so don't have to make a decision now. But, you know, I think the sooner, if you're going to do it, the sooner you get in, the better. Basically, we just have to connect with a agency that does emergency housing. There are several that we're aware of in the state. The Coalition to End Homelessness is one of them. And they refer the applicants. The only thing I would warn you that sometimes our experience has been that if you go for too many of these units, sometimes they have a hard time furnishing them. Then it becomes the housing authority's problem that they're not filling these funding vacancies. So I think what HUD is anticipating is that there's going to be people that are going to have extreme hardship because of the COVID and all the financial issues that are going on. So I can certainly, we can talk about it now or later, however you want to do it, Linda, but you know, our recommendation would be, you know, it'd be kind of crazy to go for 40 units, but you know, somewhere in the 5 to 10, if you think that's something that you would like to explore, you know, we can put a draft application together for your review.
It really makes sense to me. I don't see the downside to this at all. What do you think, the rest of you board members? Do you have questions for Ken about the program, or would you like him to explain it a little bit more fully? Because he and I had talked about it.
Go ahead, Bob.
Oh, it's Adam.
I mean, the CARES Act, you know, the CARES Act has been, you know, very helpful to our school system. So there's no reason we shouldn't take advantage of it as a housing authority.
Right. Okay. I agree. I just want to be clear that with both 2020-22 and 2020-17 matters here, that you were looking to do an exploratory, essentially, to see if there was eligibility.
Right.
I'd like to go further and just say, once you've determined we are eligible, act.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's no penalty on the fund if we can determine eligibility, and it sounds like Maria with Ellen maybe already has, then there's no downside to it, because it's, if the money isn't used, it just goes back. But it allows us to save some of the reserves is what's going to happen. So it just will be less money we dip into reserves this year.
Yeah, I'm just looking to compress the timeline, yeah. So you don't have to come back to us for another approval.
Mm-hmm. I would agree if we're eligible, but there's no reason to have to call a meeting.
Okay. All right, so we can report back on those. Those are all kind of going to be in the work between now and the next meeting. But I think you're wise to do that. These are additional vouchers for the town. You know, they do need to be referred from an agency that is in that the emergency housing related business. But I think that's easily resolved. And if it's 4 to 10, I think the question really is going to be, how many do you want to go for?
You're thinking 5 to 10 is reasonable?
I my recommendation would be, you know, to do 5. I mean, I think 40 would be kind of a stretch, and I don't think they would fund it. And I think it becomes a problem in that, you know, I'm sure that Derby has homeless issues, but I don't think it's on the nature of, you know, some of the big cities. So I think it might be a problem feeding families that are eligible. You might end up being, you know, the recipient from other towns, which isn't the worst thing in the world, but I don't think that's the intent. I think you're interested in helping the town of Derby here.
I would agree.
Mm-hmm. So then can we have a motion that if Ken does the exploration and finds that we are eligible, that we authorize him to apply for 5 vouchers? Is that reasonable? Is that what you want to do now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, and that would forego another a special meeting.
Right. Yes. So I'll make a motion to empower Ken Schultz and Imagineers et al. To pursue mainstream vouchers in the volume of 5 for the DHA, as well as pursue the CARES Act funds.
I'll second that.
Is there a second?
Second.
Bob, thank you. Discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion carries. Ken, you're all set. Is there anything else on your list that you want to talk about?
No, thank you. I'm sorry that I went deeper into it than the highlights here, but it was a week ago when I wrote this, so I'm just kind of refreshing
my
own memory.
it's okay.
It's a good day.
I'm thankful for you to do it.
Okay.
All right. So,
thanks, Ken.
Thank you.
I'm going to go down to new business and the discussion of possible action on special and possible action on releasing the reverter clause on a barren building. Ken, you're still here, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So if you remember back I'm going to say June or July. Davi had reached out to us and asked about dropping the reverter clause that says that if they don't rehab those seven units and they don't take in our folks, then the building would revert back to us in whatever condition it was. They could have rehabbed the whole thing, but if they didn't honor that clause, the building came back to us. They have done it, and they wanted to take a mortgage on the building. They had paid cash because they want to purchase other buildings. And their mortgage company was very reluctant to give them a mortgage with that clause there. So we went to Attorney Thomas, and Attorney Thomas reached out to Jennifer Gottlieb, who said, hey, listen, you know, talk to Ken because it's done. I've issued the HAPs. The HAP is the HAPs for those units are what counts. But go back to Ken and double check. So Ken, you had a conversation with Attorney Thomas as well.
Correct.
Can you speak to that? Okay.
So I had a conversation because I think what the message that Jennifer sent is that, Derby Housing Authority is all set on this, that basically she was giving her blessing. I think the attorney interpreted it differently as that there's somehow, a matter that he needed to follow up with me. So we had a conversation that basically explained that, look, at the intent of the reverter clause, as I understand, I don't have all the history, but the way it's been explained to me is that, you know, you wanted to protect the town of Derby's interest here, and you wanted to have it as basically leverage to bring the property back or take action against it. Well, they've done exactly what the town of Derby wanted them to do by, you know, renovating the property and setting it up for the project base so that you've set aside affordable housing units in that complex. The vehicle in which you're using to do that affordable housing is the project-based vouchers. Those of all, since we've come, that all that arrangement has been brought up to speed and to where it should be. So you have the project-based voucher contracts in place. They're at HUD. HUD's blessed them. It's all according to HUD's protocol. And in those contracts, you have the ability at any time to pull the subsidies away. So in other words, they've done their part of the deal. The only thing left is you're not happy with the way they're maintaining the property. What leverage do you have? Well, the leverage is the contract. So if the town is unhappy or the housing authority is unhappy with what the owner is doing on the property or for the tenants, I mean, we have an obligation to terminate the contract. If that were to happen, the tenants would just take the vouchers and move into tenant-based private housing. So I think the intent of the reverter clause has been resolved in that they basically have resolved the issues on the renovation. They brought it to affordable housing, and you still have the leverage, you know, to basically take action if it doesn't go continued on the same path that it's on. So that's what I explained to the attorney. He seemed to be happy with that. I did follow up, Linda, after we talked again. So I'm assuming we're all set, that they're satisfied.
I think it just needs to come before the board. I think we need to vote as a board and to send those minutes to Attorney Thomas and let him know that the board is in fact in agreement with releasing that reverter clause. That's the fair thing to do to him because we had asked him to do it, and that was a board decision. In fact, I think several of us attended that meeting in his office. So do you have any questions for me or for Ken on this issue?
No, it seems like a done deal. I mean, if Ken's done his homework and the attorney has no problems with it, I think that we should just pass it along and let Davi do what he needs to do with it.
Okay. All right. So then can I have a motion?
Yes.
So go ahead.
I'll make the motion that the DHA is releasing the reverter clause on the Barron building.
Mm-hmm. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Kathy, thank you. Discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, thank you, motion carries. Ken, thank you so much.
You're
I
quite
really
welcome.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
You're welcome, we'll be in touch.
Okay, thanks again. All goodbye, right. Everybody, good night.
Thanks, Ken, night.
Bye-bye now, we'll see you.
All right, so Joan, that brings us down to 7C, monthly report, your monthly report. So I'm sure everybody's had a chance to review it. Any questions for Joan?
Joan, I have a question about the, with us talking about the possibility of opening up the offices. How are the community rooms? They're still closed, I'm assuming. Is that a problem, or do the residents seem to be just getting used to that?
I think they're used to it. I think some of them miss the activity. Some of them are scared to death to come in. So it is what it should be at the point. The only time we have opened them is for the blood pressure clinic. And then we let people in one at a time, and I sanitize table and chair after each person. Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay.
And the community room at Stagger I use because my office is so small, I can't be 6 feet
away. You can't, no.
So no. I just meet them in there. That's the only time it really truly gets used.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions for Joan?
Well, I mean, Joan had a couple questions. Why wouldn't she have a master key, number one, and why wouldn't she have a code for the color copier?
Right.
I mean,
yeah, a master key to what? I'm a little confused. Are you talking about master keys to apartments?
Yes. If there was an emergency to get in. Yeah, I've always had one. So it's puzzling not to, but.
I don't know how the rest of you feel about that.
I don't have a problem with it. I kind of agree with her. Like, she's there. She's like on the front lines every day in one or two or more every day in one of those places. And, you know, she walks around, knocks on doors, talks to people. If she has concerns about someone, she doesn't have a key to get in. I don't know. I mean, she's an employee. And we don't have maintenance people on staff now. There's nobody walking around the area with a key to get in case something happens.
We do have maintenance on grounds.
We have somebody
every day. She's been there every day for a while now.
Okay.
So, Ellen, do they have the master keys, correct?
Imagineers?
Yeah.
Yes. They have them in a box at each site that they have a code to get in.
Oh.
And I also have them at the main office.
Okay. So, Ellen, are you against Joan having a key?
I don't know. How many people do we want to have keys all over? You guys decide whatever you want. I don't know.
I wonder if at some point we should ask people if it's all right to give master keys out. Because that would give access to at least three.
There's one key for each site that opens every single door to everybody's apartment.
Okay. And so that key right now is on each site in some lockbox?
Yes.
And these people that work for Imagineers have the passcode to get in the lockbox, but Joan does not.
Correct. Imagineers installed those boxes.
Okay. So I guess I'm just going to be that one to come out and say that I don't think that's a problem that Joan has access to a key or has a key. But that's just my personal feelings. I don't know, the other board members, I guess maybe you should chime in.
Yeah, by all means.
Yeah, I'm just, I guess I'm trying to absorb the access control issues and the role of the resident services coordinator. And maybe Joan, enlighten me. I guess I'm, what is giving you this key? How does it help your job?
I guess just in the case, which has happened often, when someone doesn't answer, I call an emergency number. We're worried. We don't know where they are. And I just always had a key that I could get in and see if someone was on the floor or there was some kind of problem.
And again, if the offices are called, maintenance would go out. as it always
did. Yeah, but maintenance is a little different than having the RSC. I don't know anyone in the state of Connecticut that's an RSC that does not have a master key, honestly.
Okay, well, I'm not necessarily
against it. You've never
done
it before.
Yeah.
But
I don't know that that makes it right or wrong, but.
Yeah, I okay. Joan, as we, if this, walk me through the process here. At what threshold do you enter somebody's unit without their knowledge? You know, what is the?
Most often it would be someone that would call me and say that they're on the floor, they can't get up, could I get in to help them or call 911, get a lift assistant. If they can't get to the door, that I could get to the door and unlock it for the emergency people to get in. Or most often what would happen is if someone's car is there, it hasn't been moved, no one's seen them, they're not answering the phone, I call the emergency contact person and they are not aware of anything that, you know, is amiss, but they haven't heard from the person also.
But that's what the office is for.
Well, but I'm thinking if somebody's on the floor, they're going to be calling their family members or they're going to be calling 911.
Maybe if they know that I'm there and they don't want to bother family, it's just the easier process. And not everyone has family in the area that can come running.
Yeah, I guess this brings into a whole different level of concerns. I have concerns with you acting as a medical professional.
Oh, but I wouldn't.
On behalf of the housing authority. So it seems to me when there's somebody that's calling with an issue where they're no longer able to care for themselves or they're in a position where they need, they're having some sort of medical concern, we be utilizing the emergency response system in the community as opposed to, I'm just concerned about one, delaying unnecessary care, and then two, you're acting outside of your scope and then facing us to a liability as a housing authority.
I wouldn't be acting as anything medical because I don't have a medical background. I would be acting as someone that would get the medical people there, the emergency medical people.
If I could just jump in, we always had it that maintenance handled all that part of it, that if there was a problem, they would call the office and maintenance would open the door and let the medical or whoever needed to get in.
Well, I think that worked good, Ellen, when we had two people that everybody in the complexes knew, but from what I understood was that maintenance has been changing. Whoever comes from Imagineers isn't always the same person, right?
He has been.
Okay.
We have a gentleman named Fumar who is regular unless he's on vacation or ill. And then he gets a replacement.
Okay. Because I know that for a little while, the residents were uncomfortable. They didn't know the people that were there. They weren't sure or familiar with them. And it was almost like they weren't reaching out to them for anything because they didn't really know who they were.
Okay. Joan, do you think it would, I'm for having a redundancy. I'm okay with you having a case. But I need to know that there's going to be a protocol and or a procedure for you providing yourself access, essentially, to somebody else's domicile. So I'll let you write it if you're familiar with one from another agency you've worked for in the state. That'd be great. Okay. But there just has to be some rules around when, what thresholds.
Sure, absolutely.
Create that. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, yes.
Sounds like a good idea, Adam, because I'm kind of struggling with maintenance having access to a key, a master key, and not our resident services coordinator.
And no, she's an employee. I'm fine with it.
No,
again,
I understand. Listen, I agree. There should be some written protocol.
Yeah.
We're going to have to come up with some access control rules, and it's – that's just a new issue we didn't think of. Always something new here.
There is. I mean, we allow maintenance to have a key.
Yeah.
And not the armor.
Maybe that's been a problem. Yes.
Well, I mean, maintenance has a key because they have to go in to take care of plumbing and cooling.
But how do they know that, Linda? That, see,
they get it from us. I mean, if we don't trust our maintenance, then what's the point of having them?
No, but the person in the apartment calls that there's an issue, correct?
Correct. They call.
So they don't. Right. But what I'm saying is they just don't walk into an apartment unannounced.
Oh, no, not at all.
Right.
They don't.
And the resident is usually there, or unless they've given permission for the people to come in without their presence. Yeah.
All right. I'm just saying we need to write some rules around.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. Okay.
I agree.
Okay. So we'll carry this over.
Yep.
Joan, you'll provide us with some kind of a template.
Yeah. I'll get a standard. Yeah.
Okay.
Could I just, Kathy, we were talking about the community room. I got a call from Griffin Hospital. The gal that does the blood pressure clinics for us does what's called the Living Well, people that live with chronic disease. The Agency on Aging has given the grant money to Griffin Hospital to do it. And she would like to come and do it at Steiger. And she was saying like 6 or 7 people. I don't think we can handle that many safe distancing, but I didn't know what you folks all felt about having that program. She's waiting also to get permission from Monica, who's the director of community outreach, to see, to make sure that it is okay to come in. Because when we do the blood pressures, we only have one person in at a time, but this would be a group, kind of a Zooming seminar type thing that she could do with anyone with diabetes, arthritis, how to live with it best. And she wanted a group. But I don't think we could really safely do 4 people. It's normally done on Zoom, but since we have such poor technology and so few residents have, the ability, she wants to do it in person. So I don't know. So, I told her that I would check with you folks and see what you felt.
You don't think that we could get 4 people in the community room at Steiger with the way the tables are if we space them way out? As long as a person's not sitting directly opposite another person, if we stagger them in distances, I think we could get 4 people in there plus a speaker.
I do too. She wanted 7 or 8 because that's what the group, I just felt that was too many to be safe.
Unless we did it outside, unless you set something up outside.
Yeah, it's going to be cold.
Yeah.
Soon, yeah.
Okay, yeah. All right.
So I'm thinking this, I kind of walked around distancing, and if she's at one end, we could safely do 4, I think is the max. So it's just, I wanted your opinion because she's waiting to get Griffin's approval to come on site also. So,
I mean, when you and I met with the gentleman from T-Mobile, was it?
Yeah.
There were 3 of us there, and that was a good distancing. And there was a whole other side of the room there. So I don't think that we could do 7, but I think you could probably do 5. People.
Counting her 5 because she'll need papers and and my concern is the residents have pre-consisting issues that I don't want to exacerbate.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you guys are okay and she gets permission from Griffin's outreach, it's not going to happen right away. She's going to have to do a lot of contacting to get the people involved. But I just wanted to run it by you while we're meeting.
I think it sounds like a good opportunity.
Yeah, it's a great program. Yeah.
All right. So then we'll go down to the issue of the code for color copying. I don't think it's a problem with her to have a code, but I'm going to just speak to the dollar amount of color of using the color printer. And Joan does a beautiful, you do a beautiful job on the newsletters, but we have 5 two-sided paper with a lot of color, and they get to 106 units. So, I mean, there's no problem with you having, but I don't know. And again, board, you can decide if we need to have all of those in color, because that's costly. And we're in a position where we're supposed to be saving money and you know, being mindful of what we spend.
What is the breakdown on the cost for color copies? Is our contract that we can get so many copies for what we're paying, and then we'll pay more if we go over a certain amount of copies, or?
Yes, we pay more for black and white. We pay more for colored.
Okay, so what is our standard? Like, do we have you get 1,000?
I really don't know. And the only code on there is the one for the copier at the office, which is the big, huge copier in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I don't know. Give her the code, give her the keys, give her, I don't know, whatever you want. I don't know.
Ellen, can we get the dollar amount? Can you get the figures for what it costs?
It changes every month. It's not the same. It changes every month. But you know what?
So it probably changes because we don't have a contract for a set amount. We probably get charged by what we use.
We have a contract for a set amount of copies. Once we go over those amount of copies, we get charged extra.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
So maybe next month we can talk about.
I didn't set it up that you don't have the code. The code has been set up since Steve was there. That I had a special code that goes under my name. That's the code I use to make colored copies.
So when Diana copies
for
me.
As far as being able to scan, my printer is hooked into that big copier.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the scanning ability to do that.
Right.
Because that's set up. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, I don't have any of that ability from the office.
No, you don't.
You know, the equipment is pretty archaic. So.
Correct. So you need to come to the office.
Yeah, or Diana, I'll often send her an email.
We'll do it. Yeah. That's perfect.
But if you're not there, Ellen, I don't know that. Diana has it because I've been there. If you're out at lunch and I'm trying to do something and I'm sorry?
Diana has the color code, yes.
Okay.
She makes all your copies.
Yes, she does. She's terrific. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, she does.
So if you guys aren't there, I'm out of luck. It's fine. I'm getting used to it.
Okay, so what are we going to give her? Keys, we're going to give her the color code, we're going to give her a new...
We tabled that, Ellen.
Right.
Okay.
But get dollars amount.
And this year, what is the plan for the DHA office to open to the public? The door is closed, but they ring the doorbell.
We didn't get there yet.
No, that's one of the first questions.
I understand that, but we put it on the agenda. It's under new business B. I'm sorry?
It's under new business.
That's under new business.
Yes.
Okay, plans to power wash the building. That was something that maintenance did. Is this something, Joan, that the residents are asking you?
Yes, yeah, especially depending on how the buildings sit on the land. Some of them are really quite dirty, just from being weathered. Even a hose, I don't know if you need a power wash, but some ends of them are really pretty bad, pretty run down looking. Not at CC Manor, it's mostly at Stagger that they are.
Are aware of that, but without maintenance, you can't get that done.
Well, you can hire someone.
You'd have to ask Imagineer to do it. You'd have to assign it to Imagineer.
Right. Yeah. Just ask them to, tell them that we want to have it done. Or price it out, I guess.
I didn't know if it's done on how you schedule that, and the residents keep asking, when are they going to do it? And I said, I don't know.
It had been done on a regular basis, on an annual basis, when we had our own staff.
Okay, and they did it from what Ellen said themselves, yeah.
So then we need to ask Imagineers to do it then, because if we've spent 9 months, right? Or no, how many months since we haven't had maintenance? This whole year. We haven't had them this time of year, which you would.
March.
Right. But you would empower wash in January through March. You power wash in the warmer months. So it hasn't been done this.
Right. But I think there's still time. There's still going to be warm days this month. So if it needs to be done.
Yep.
And then we can ask Imagineers to do it. They're all we have.
Yep.
So it's just at Steiger?
Steiger is where it's the most obvious that it's pretty bad. Yeah. The end, the faces, the Housatonic. Not the end that faces Hawthorne. The opposite end of the property.
The side where the trees are.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And the trees cause that mold issue usually.
A lot of it, I think, yeah. Because there's not a lot of sun at that end. Yeah.
So, board, you want to have, what's your pleasure? Do you want to have Steiger done?
I think so. Well, if we've done it every other year, if we've had it part of our maintenance plan, then we should continue with it.
That's fine.
They've been done at CC too.
Have Imagineers do it.
All right. Ellen, ask Imagineers. I think with CC, let's hold off because they're still in the process of doing the construction work. We'll talk about that when we get there. And if Guardiano doesn't need it, then let's just concentrate on Steiger. Is everyone good with that?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. All right. So Ellen, ask Fumar if he'll schedule some time to do that on a nice day.
Guardiano has to support, then it goes through Gina.
Okay. Well, then make your work order to Gina.
I don't know why we have to go through a board meeting to, you know. I don't know. All right.
Okay. Plan for enforcing some of the house lease violations. Do we know what they are, Ellen? Do we know where the violations are?
Yes. There's quite a list.
Okay. So I think what's happened is that Ellen has...
The old thing. I don't have time to do anything with everything going on. So yes, I'm aware of that. There's a lot. But you know what? I'm one person.
Well, we're not pointing a finger at you. Now is the time for us to maybe figure out how this could be handled. If there's a lot and you don't have time, maybe we need to talk about, you know, how we work through this to figure out how to manage them.
Correct.
I guess first we kind of ask what kinds of violations we're talking about.
Well, I think, there's multiple different varieties of different people living there that aren't particularly on the lease. What I was thinking of when they're doing building inspections, there's people have a lot of stuff that's on their deck. There's extra cars, there's motorcycles, there's grills, there's things that are clearly in violation. And, I think when they're not followed up or enforced, people get, a little bit lackadaisical. Well, it doesn't matter, we can do anything because, so-and-so's had it. And there's a couple of times that I'm concerned with emergency people coming or stretches coming in, and if you can't get by, I've spoken to some of the people who have moved it themselves, or and there's some at Guardiano also that have chairs that there's no way a stretcher could get through, but it's more, I think Steiger probably has the most of the
and
extra
again
stuff.
And again, you have to start at the beginning. We need a new lease, which has needed to be done for years.
Right. So,
and we could put stuff in there and follow up on it, how we're going to go about it, what we're going to do about it.
But Ellen, I don't
letters
disagree with you.
I'm blue in the face. And they don't mean
and
anything.
You turned over,
we don't follow up.
You have turned over some things to the attorney because you and I have talked about that. Some things are, and Joan, do you talk to Ellen about concerns with different units so that you'll know. I know I was able to give you information about one case that we had turned over to an attorney, and you didn't know that.
No, but I knew it was a problem. Ellen had, you know, complained about it many, many times, and it is an issue.
Am I supposed to report to Joan all the goings on with between the attorneys?
No, but I think if there was good communication.
I'm so confused.
Ellen, if there was good communication, if Joan came and said there's problems, you know, at number 49,
well aware
you could
of
say,
all
oh,
the
yes, I know, I'm working on it.
I am well
I'm
aware.
Sorry?
I'm well aware of all the problems that are going on.
I understand that, but are you if there's a concern that Joan brings to you, are you able to discuss that with her? Are you able to tell her this is what's going on? I've got it. You know, I get it, and I'm working on it. I'm working with the attorney, whatever it is, because
okay.
there are things
so here's
that you're
an
doing.
Example. I say to the attorney, there's people living in that apartment that are not on the lease. He says to me, get me names and get me all this information. Last time, I almost got killed doing it. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not. I went and knocked on the door, brought the police there. The guy has a list of arrests. Mike was with me. So now they find the guy hiding in the house. He comes out. I mean, they take him straight to jail. You know, I don't know. Where's the line? This is what the attorney tells me. Get all the information on these people. You got to, I mean, Linda, you've heard me sit and try and talk to this guy.
I know Joe is difficult. He is difficult.
All right, so let's not even talk about the extra people living in there, because I can understand that would be very uncomfortable, Ellen. I'm sorry you had to go through that. What about, like, when I was there this summer and recently, there are, like Joan mentioned, there are motorcycles parked underneath.
And there has been for years.
Okay, well,
years,
that's
so
the,
that, they've been parked now.
And that's what Joan was saying, like, if they don't get addressed, then more people will start bringing things in and leaving things.
Letters have gone out to these people yearly about the motorcycles, about everything.
So
how are we going to reinforce all of this?
Yeah,
is
and
what
that's
we
the
need
question.
To figure
yeah,
out.
That is the question. That's why we're hashing this now. And I think you're misunderstanding, Ellen. I don't think we're attacking you at all about this. I we're not blaming you. We're just trying, and we understand and realize that you're overwhelmed. We're just trying to kind of come up with a plan that doesn't maybe involve, you know, you having to do something, maybe us working together to try to bring an outside source in or to come up with a plan that we can address specifically, not even the people with the extra people in the units, but specifically all these grills that are underneath overhangs that if someone lights their grill sometime, it could end up catching the overhang on fire. Motorcycle. I know, but I mean, what can we do to address that? Can we, you know, what board members? What could we do with that?
We have yeah. Listen.
Ellen, they only throw them away.
Ellen, what I heard you say something about the lease violate. The lease needs to be looked at and rewritten.
The lease should have been done a few years ago.
Then we need to strengthen the written lease. If there's a violation and there's a recurring,
right,
this is what DHA can do. But unless we have that and it's signed when they move in, you know, they understand this lease,
right,
then we're powerless to do any of these things.
They don't do yearly leases. They don't do yearly leases.
Yes, we do.
But it's the same lease.
Well, why is it the same lease? Why
I don't know how
because
strong
I
it
haven't
is.
Had time to sit with Joe to get a new lease.
And we talked
I'm
about forming a
to put out fires because there's always something going on. Like right now, I have about the apartments being built. I have mold in another apartment that the guy's sister's driving me crazy. I have a water. There's some kind of broken water pipe at CC Manor where our bill has doubled there. the regional water has to come out. I've had the burnt apartment where I'm dealing with the insurance company. I have the grants that I have to draw down on. I have the payroll that I have to do. I could sit here all night and name off stuff. So, I don't know.
Well, we're not telling you that you have to rewrite the lease. In fact, we had talked about doing it. We haven't done it.
So right, maybe we haven't had time to do it because so many things are going on. You have to do it at a certain time because you do their research in January. Their new lease takes over in April 1st.
So it needs to be done by April.
Well, April 1st it starts. It probably needs to be done before that.
Right. I said by April it needs to be done. Correct?
April 1st it would take effect.
Well, Bob, Adam, you and I decided we would try to take this on. I can try to get some templates.
There's other issues too, but I'd rather not say right now. But,
Are you guys still game to work on the lease?
Yeah, I'll tell you,
yep.
The person I would ask for one would be Ken. Give us a copy.
Yes, absolutely.
That's exactly who I'm going to go to.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
I'm sure they have something very strong.
Yeah, that really needs to be done.
I bet it probably wouldn't take that long, but if we could get a copy or tell Ken what our issue is, send us what you have or what you use.
Yeah,
the old one.
A template of something that's effective that
that Imagineers
uses. A lot of other housing authorities.
Yeah,
I'm sure he would have.
Sure, he would.
All right. I'll email him after the meeting and see if he can send us a good template.
Yep.
And when I get it, we'll set up a meeting time.
You know, like I said, we've sent out numerous letters. They just throw them away and do what they want anyway.
Well, does it say in the lease what the consequence is for violating?
It says they can be terminated for violating the following things or whatever.
I can't imagine that we would be evicting them for leaving chairs out in the walkway.
No.
But it would be nice to be able to get them moved or placed somewhere.
So when you've seen them, have you asked the owners? I mean, I'm not saying everything, but at least like things like chairs. They're not supposed to have gas grills.
Right.
He knows it.
I'm sorry?
They know it.
Yeah, the part of enforcing it. They know it and they have it and it goes on. But just recently, about a month ago, one of the residents was really upset because she's in a back apartment, and when she walked past a bunch of stuff that was in the front apartment outside, she banged her leg. So I did call and talk to the daughter, and she did come and move some of the stacked stuff that was out there and, chairs that were... The path was it was certainly wide enough to walk, but it would never have taken a stretcher, you know. Oh, cute dog. But then it happened, you know, then they slip, you know, then they get more stuff, and there's so little storage, they tend to collect things wherever there's a bare spot, you know.
But would it make sense until the lease is changed that when you see it and identify it, that you have conversations and that you have, say, three conversations and put it in writing and send it to Ellen so we can start a file? Because if we don't document that we've addressed it, then we don't really have much.
We've sent them letters. They've gotten letters about all different things throughout the years. It don't matter to them.
Well, I just want to make sure that everything that Joan knows about, you know about.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're handling up consistent way.
I'll tell you an example. The woman came in for something, and I said to her, you know you're not supposed to have your daughter and grandchildren living with you. She said, prove it. And you know how hard it is to prove it?
Well, somebody has to be eyeballing it unless the next door neighbor or the neighbor across the way is willing to get involved and give us information. And somebody's got to be eyeballing it. I don't know who's going to do that.
And they're going to say, oh, they only stayed for the night. floor. I mean, there's an excuse all the time.
She almost needs like a private detective.
Yeah.
She's been there forever.
Security.
So
yeah.
Right.
Really, you need security. But I mean, even then, you know what I mean? They're going to see her come and go and whatever. I'll tell you, CC's gotten really, really bad since we left up there and there's nobody, you know, really around. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're documenting what you can. You're sending out letters. You've involved the attorney. You're keeping a file. I mean, that's all
well,
we can
do. I'm not sending out letters. I don't have time to write a letter. Now we got someone that's trying to sue us too that fell. So I mean, where do I have the time to even?
Well, we can have a template letter. I'm sure we can come up with a template letter.
Okay, and what do you want? What do you want done? Send out a letter and what? I mean,
and just fill in the blank.
Letters out
Here's
so
the
we
violation.
Can pick it up.
Yeah, I think that it's not that the letters haven't gone out. That it doesn't seem to be reinforced. It's very difficult.
Yeah, right. If you're going to send out the letter, you got to reinforce it, and we can't.
Joan, what do you see as a consequence that would encourage compliance?
I think, you know, for some of the people living in the house is a whole different thing because you'd really almost need to go in and investigate if you see cribs. And I know where Ellen is talking. I've been next door to that house 3 or 4 times this week, and there's definitely a little person and baby toys and stuff that you can see in the door and, you know, carriages. Now, are they just visiting during the day? I don't know. I'm not there at night. But the children are certainly there during the day, and the laundry's being done. But for the minor things like just the trash on the porches and stuff, I think, you know, okay, you get a letter, you have a certain date to get this rectified. Otherwise, there's going to be another consequence. And
I'm asking what you see as a successful consequence. To say it's going to be another consequence, there wasn't one the first time. So what is that consequence that brings compliance?
I would think eviction.
Okay. Well,
I wouldn't want to do that for chairs and stuff, but for, you know,
right.
some
so
of the other
outside
issues.
Outside of the 0 to 100 response, what is the middle ground that brings a person compliant and still has the housing authority housing people?
Is there a fine? Is that something that is ever done? A fine for non-compliance?
How are you going to prove it, though?
Well, proving the people living is a whole different category
right.
than, you know, mm-hmm. the trash and the motorcycles and the grill and the extra cars on the property. And
yeah.
Correct. Because, I mean, Joan is out there. Kumar is out there. If we say, hey, go check and see if the motorcycle is parked in slot 29 today and check tomorrow and check the next day.
Oh, no,
you know,
they have parking right next to the boiler room.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. And I mean, there was over.
A letter, but they have not gotten a letter.
I believe those are gas-fired boilers, too.
Have they gotten a letter?
They've gotten plenty of letters through the years. Not recently. I haven't sent it out because why send it out if we're not going to follow up with anything? They just look at you and laugh. Yeah, like, yeah, okay, another letter.
I think money hurts when you start giving fines for violations, even if it's $25 for the first
But that has to
violation.
Be in the lease before you can enforce
right.
it.
Right, right. But I think we could probably get a lease together pretty quickly if we have Ken's got to have some kind of a template.
But the lease won't take effect until April 1st.
No, I understand that. I guess
the new lease,
I'm struggling to wonder if a financial penalty is the same motivator for somebody that isn't paying for their housing.
Right.
You know, or
that's true too.
Yeah.
You know, can it even be levied? You know, and I'm wondering, Joan, if you had other solutions, other motivators that would encourage compliance outside of eviction.
The eviction is certainly the last resort, but I would think some fines or it could be the property would be removed at their expense or put into storage for them at their expense. I mean, I know that that's been done at other properties. If they say that, you know, if they're ignoring you, it's one thing, but if they're just saying, I can't do it, I don't know how to do it, you know, usually housing would come in and do it and they would get the bill.
Okay.
The city of Derby charges private homeowners for that.
Correct.
For removal of, you know, big items.
Unauthorized.
Things they just leave on the curb.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Public Works does.
No, maybe we engage with them and just let them use their current billing process and treat it like any other resident.
That might have to
even
be.
Even though we're the owner of the site?
Yeah,
we might get the fine.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah.
Yeah. That might backfire.
Yeah.
I guess it would create, one of my thought was it would create a third party that would verify that the infraction was occurring. It would handle it, and then we would have incurred a cost, and we could pass that through to the tenant at that point and say, look, the city came, the city found this, they're the heavy. Now you need to pay me. I need to be, as a housing authority, made whole.
Well, here's an example. I called the fire marshal because one of the tenants had his motorcycle parked in his house. And the fire marshal said there's a fine line because, you know, it all depends on the structure. It all depends on this, that, whatever.
So nothing happened?
I called him and told him he better get that motorcycle out of his house. And he did get rid of it. He said it's at his father's house now. I said, better stay there.
Wow.
I mean, come on. This is like just nonsense all day long.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll pursue a stronger lease with Ken. Obviously, that's a longer-term solution, and we're just going to have to continue with living with these issues in the short term.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Ellen. What was the reason that the leases were – up in April? What was the April was?
Well, I can't hear you.
What is the reason that the you said April for the leases? Is that like
annual?
Oh, okay.
They do an annual research every January, and then when the figures are in and their rent is determined, they come in and they sign the new lease in April.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. With their new
Well, they signed it in March and it takes effect April 1st. Because we have to give them 30 days notice.
Okay. So we actually need it by March.
Yeah, probably.
All right. Any more discussion on that?
No.
All right. The last question, Joan, you ordered a phone from Amazon. Now, I remember back at one of the earlier meetings, I want to say it might have even been at City Hall still, we authorized you to get a phone, and you got one from BJ.
Okay, and she got the phone from BJ, so she bought a phone.
From Target,
We don't have it on the plan. We don't have caller ID or call forwarding on the bill. We don't have that for Cyberterrorists. And then Seth said, hold off with Frontier because he was going to see if we maybe could just go all with Comcast if it would be cheap.
Yeah. So that phone, Linda, that I had initially bought did not have the ability for call forwarding. So I took it back. And then that was months ago. And now I just bought another one because the phone in the office that was so old, it wasn't, other than the fact I didn't have the caller ID and call forwarding, it wasn't audible. I couldn't catch what the people were saying. So I just got one last week. Rich installed it a Friday. So it works. It rings. It tells me people left the message. I just don't have the caller ID. And Ellen was just saying she was wanted, you know, when several months ago when they changed to what, you know, we can see whether it's Comcast or Frontier. So the phone is ready whenever Comcast or Frontier is ready to put it on.
Just give the bill to Ellen because we approved that for payment.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's just the caller ID that I was hoping to have. No. So when a lot of people call in and say, Joan, hi, call me back, and I have no clue who they are. So without the caller ID, I don't know who it was.
So what she wants to do is add caller ID and call forwarding to our bill.
Right.
Do we have a cost? Is it feasible? Is this something that can be done?
I don't know. I could call. I mean,
well, let's see if it's feasible and let's get a price.
Yeah, the call forwarding.
I hope that your message says, you know, leave your name and number and not just
call
me back.
Oh, yes, yeah. The call forwarding became more important because I'm only there 3 days a week, so I could forward the messages here, especially with COVID at the house. But now they all have my cell phone in my house line, so.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like, ah. It's all right.
So we'll carry it over till next month. Ellen, just see if it's feasible and what the dollar amount is. All right. Any other discussion on Joan's minutes? Joan, anything else you want to talk about?
Oh, I think I'm done. I think I better go.
Okay. All right. Joan, thanks for your hard work. Thank you for your report.
Okay. Thanks, folks. Have a good, happy October. And it's my 1 year anniversary today.
Oh my gosh.
It's been
Thank
a
you.
Year. Wow.
Yeah.
Happy anniversary.
Thanks. Yeah. Take care, guys. Have a good
Bye,
night.
Joan.
Bye-bye.
Okay. That brings us to D under old business update on CC Manor construction. Hopefully you saw the pictures I sent you. It's moving along finally. It's moving at a good clip. They told me that it should be done by Thanksgiving and that we could plan to lease up for January 1st, which is really nice. They're working from 8:30 to 4:30, and I'm telling you that because there were some complaints. People thought they were blasting. And in fact, they weren't blasting, they were jackhammering. They were jackhammering holes for windows and doors for all the units. And I imagine that it probably was quite noisy. Did some jackhammering too for the walk into the community room because that was a bit of a slope. We're hoping to try to even that out a bit for people in wheelchairs and walkers to make it easier to get in. That's part of the plan, is to make it more accessible. So I think they're probably done with the bulk of the noisy work, except that the really good news is that it looks like we're going to have about 300,000 left, which will allow us to do more of the site work and do some of the repairs on the walkways, some light, upgrading the light, and hopefully to some cameras. Trying to think. I think that's it. Any questions, comments? There'll be a meeting, I think the third Thursday of this month. If you want to come, please come. I can send you the dates, and otherwise I'll update next month. Okay. So we'll move on to update addition of cameras at Guardiano and ability to link cameras at CC to police station. So I saw Chief Narowski, and I talked to him about that. And he said to me, look, you know, it's going to cost a lot of money to do that. He said, if you really want to do it, you can talk to Doc because they did it for the field house. And he said he can recommend the company that did it for him, but it's really quite costly. And he said, we're not able to monitor it. We don't have the ability. So if something should happen and you have cameras and we can come and we can review your cameras, your film, that's good. He said, because we don't have the ability to do anything else. I didn't pursue dollar amounts. I don't know, given his response, you know, how you feel about that. But to go back to Guardiano for a minute, the doors and cameras have been installed. The router is installed. They're just waiting on Comcast to come to do a site visit to set up the Wi-Fi.
Excellent.
Okay. So thoughts on the cameras?
No, if they're not going to be, if they're not going to be monitored, then it's really.
Yeah, I'd rather see the money go into other security features than like enhanced lighting and stuff of that nature.
Sure, sure. Okay, good. Then I will. I'll let you know how we're doing next month. Fingers crossed, because this is almost over. And they're going to be really nice, I think.
All right.
Okay, that brings us to discussion of possible action on RFP submissions, possible executive session. Okay, Bob, you sat in on that call. You want to talk about it a little bit?
Yeah, you know what? I do think that there was a lot of miscommunication between, you know, their people and Ellen and who was responsible for what. And, you know, there's certainly... Linda and I heard a lot of that. It was just miscommunication. So there's now people in place. And we talked about, you know, we wanted our seniors to feel comfortable with the same face every day. And that's something that they are doing. We don't want Ellen leaving the office or, you know, go get the truck or do whatever. So we believe that there are people in place that if they can't handle minor maintenance, they'll call someone else in their agency. They're not going to call Ellen. We'll find out about it. But I think what was going on was there was too much communication to Ellen, which she was leaving the office. And it just was... her time is valuable in that office. And the maintenance issues, I don't know what's happened in the last month, but there seemed when we left that meeting, there was a plan in place where a lot of that was taken off of Ellen and off of that office. And that's what I think I was satisfied with, that took place. And I'm just hoping that's what took place over the last month.
Ellen, has it gotten better?
There's still confusion over the vendor part, whether we're using our vendors or what's going on. You know what I mean? So far we've had Flamar. He's been there, most of the time. Today I ordered paint. He went and got it. Told him where it was. And then... things like that. I have to show him where Calvert is. And because every time there's a new apartment, you got to order the locks from Calvert because there's a special code for each one. So all the master keys will fit and all that. And we got a system where we keep track of all the numbers of the key that goes with that. So there's still a few things. You know what I mean?
There's probably going to be a few things. But it's a lot better. I don't think we want you to go pick up. We don't want you to go to Calvert Lock. And I understand he needs to know where it is. Once those things happen, you need to step back and let him do those things.
All right.
Yeah.
So are we going to be using their vendors or our vendors?
If we have contracts with anybody, I'm sorry. I would say if we have a contract with a vendor, then we have to, until the contract is up, we need to continue to use them.
No, we have a contract with Flick for the lawn care and all that. And they do a nice job.
Mm.
But plumber, we don't have a contract with him.
And they have their own people.
Huh?
Imagineers. From my understanding, if it gets to the point where he can't handle it, he calls Gina. Is that her name?
Yeah.
Yep, there's Gina and Mike.
And then they have their own, they can handle their own things, such as major plumbing. That was my impression when we left that meeting, that they would handle it.
All right. We weren't sure because Diane was asking me, I was asking her. But I know Jacuzzi has a lot of parts, I know he has parts for like Linda Swinsky's air conditioning unit, but Linda's never home, so he can't get it done. But yeah, so stuff like that. But I mean, he's got jobs he's got to finish up because he's got all parts for him, and he's just waiting for people to be there to do it. But so I'll talk to Mike and tell him definitely use your people, whether it be, you know. But let's suppose he finish what he started. Should we do that?
Tell him to finish up what he needs.
Right. If he's already ordered parts, let him finish that.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So, are we ready to vote on the RFP?
I'm ready.
I am.
Sure. All right. All right. Is there a motion then? To accept, I guess the motion would be to accept the RFP from Imagineers for the maintenance work, excluding the exterior in terms of snow removal and grass cutting, because we have a current contract with SWIT for those.
I make a motion to accept the proposal submitted by Imagineers for the maintenance contract to the Derby Housing Authority.
Second.
Is there a Bob?
Second, yes.
Discussion on the motion? All right, hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carried. So I'll let Ken know that he's now full time. I think that was some of the concern too. Like I think what he said, Bob, was that he was, you know, they tried to piecemeal a plan to provide emergency coverage, and now that they understand what needs to be done under the confines of the RFP, they'll be able to move forward in a more efficient manner.
Right.
All right. So that brings us down to discussion and possible action on cycle painting for occupied units. Again, when I talked to Ken a couple of weeks ago and brought that up for this meeting, he said, let's wait until we see if we get the contract. So what are you thinking? I mean, you want Ken to make the decision? You want Imagineers to make the decision on when we do it? Do we want to do it still while COVID is raging? Do we want to send people in to paint the interiors of apartments?
Nope.
What are your thoughts?
Nope.
Yeah, I wouldn't. So I've got to say.
I wouldn't want anybody in my house. So I don't think we should impose on the residents right now.
Agreed. Okay. It's not the time.
We can wait till spring, see what happens.
All right. So then let's make a motion then to put it on the agenda for maybe April 2021.
Yeah.
That's fine.
This could maybe coincide with the new leases.
Okay. All right. So I'll make a motion that we add this to the March 2021 agenda.
I'll second it.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Dissension? None? Okay. Motion carries. All right. So under new business, then we'll go to B, which is discussion and possible action on reopening the DHA office. So until I saw Joan's note, I had no idea that they had reopened any part of City Hall for the public. We, as a board, had decided to close to the public DHA's office in partnership with City Hall.
Could I just say something on that?
I'm sorry?
Could I just say something on that?
Sure.
It's not like our office is closed. If people come, they ring the doorbell, we let them in.
Understood.
So it's not closed. So it's not closed, really, if you let them in.
It's really not closed. Okay. You know what I mean? They ring the doorbell. If they bring their check, they ring the doorbell. Diana goes out there, gets it. If we have to, you know, a new person is coming to lease up, they come into the waiting area, like one at a time. So it's not like we've ever really been closed, because we've been doing this right along. It's just that the door is not open to just everybody pouring into the waiting room. And you know what I mean? It's like they take one at a time.
Well, then let's take the sign off the door and just continue with what you're doing.
Schedule them.
What?
We schedule them. Like, if they're coming for a lease up, Diane schedules them so there's nobody there at the same time.
Right. Just put the sign on the door that says the office is closed. Call this number, excuse me, for an appointment, and then just go from there.
Yeah. Well, a lot of them ring the doorbell because they insist on bringing their checks down. I don't know why, but they feel more comfortable bringing it down to the office. You know what I mean?
Right.
But so it's been open. You've allowed people in with no appointments for certain reasons as well.
Just to
So I'm saying, why not just take the note off the door and continue to keep the door locked and schedule your appointments the way you have? Because in reality, the office wasn't 100% closed to the public ever.
No. No, because, we would have to bring in people to lease them up or... You know, Diana would meet with them out there in the waiting area and sign them up and all that.
Well, you know, as City Hall is doing, they're not letting people into the work area. So I don't see any reason to let them pass the reception area.
Yeah, we don't bring them into our work area at all.
I would continue to do that. I know we've been there, so it seems to be working with Ellen. It seems to be working, so I would... Keep it the same.
Yeah.
Do you want the sign on the door saying that we're closed?
No.
I don't think it really matters. As long as they're just dropping something off.
Well, if someone comes to the door and needs to, like, doesn't know they're not there for a specific reason, is there a phone number on the door that they can call at that doorway and say, hi, I'm here for, I want to talk to someone.
There's a big doorbell. They ring the doorbell. Diane answers the door.
Is there a sign there, though, that says that? Derby Housing, please ring bell, or no?
No, the sign says Derby Housing Authority is closed to the public.
Yeah, I'll have her put one out there. Please ring bell.
Or put the phone number on the door. Please call this number. Ring bell, call this number. Just so that if somebody comes and the door is locked, that they're not there for, you know, specifically to drop off a check or to do a lease or something. It'll at least give them knowledge of what they should do when they get there and the door's locked.
Yeah. All right, I'll have Diane do that tomorrow.
All right. Sounds like you got a good system, Ellen. Just make sure the sign reads what you're
trying. Yeah, we're trying.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
So that's very, very good with that. She does, you know.
Diana, she really is. She's doing a great job. We're lucky to have her. I'm so glad she came back.
Yeah.
All right. You want to talk about your report?
Oh,
last but not least.
Oh, hold on. Tiger Tears, we have no vacancies at this time. It's because I do the report for September. So CC Manor, there was no vacancies. Lakeview, they're working on the fire apartment. They've been working on that and all that. And I told Mike from Imagineers, he has to oversee that because I don't want it. The insurance company said we have to make sure the work is done before I pay them. So they sent me a check and then they'll send me more later. So I asked Mike to overlook that. I sent him the contract. I had asked Linda. She said, send it to him because let them do that. They know what they're looking for. I don't, you know. But 25 is leased up at Guardiano, and 10 is leased up at Guardiano as of 10-1. So now we have
that are going to be empty. I'm sorry?
We have two more coming up that are going to be empty. But this is just for September, that one. And then October we'll have a couple more empty.
Sure. And Ellen and I talked about her calling Rhonda Caldwell at TAPA to talk about how to fill those new handicapped accessible. If we have a tenant in another facility, you know, one of ours, who has all the documentation she really needs handicapped accessible, she would like to move into one of the new ones. And so I told her to talk to
Yeah, I'm going to call her because I know we have three that of where we have them living already that would probably take those three apartments. So I don't know if they would take preference because they already live there or.
Correct. And one is already asked. The other two have not asked.
Yeah.
But it would be good to be able to move them in on January 1st, if that's what we can do. And then we'll have others to lease up. That would be great. It keeps us full and it adds three onto it. So. All right. Any questions for Ellen? All right. Then do I have a motion to adjourn? It's 8:02.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Adam,
second.
Second. Bob, anybody discussion on the motion? Here, all right, hearing none. 8:02, we are adjourned. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Linda, I'm going to try to get a couple copies of leases out there from housing authorities.
All right, and I'm gonna email Ken now about that.
And Joe from the attorney's office said he has leases.
Tell him to send him.
Yeah, see what he has.
I'll call him and tell him.
Ellen, I'll be there about 8:30 to sign checks. Is that okay?
Oh, that's fine.
All right. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right.
Bye-bye. Ellen, you need me to come down to sign them. Do you not?
Huh?
You need me to come down and sign checks?
Yeah, they're all ready if you want to come down and sign. One more.
All right. I just have to bring the dog to the vet at 9:45. Once I bring him home, I'll come on down. I'll probably be there.
I think I'm going to do a half a day tomorrow. But
okay.
I'll leave him with Diana if I'm not there. No big deal.
All right. Well,
you'll be there
before
12.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you.